Can have a seat. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. I am excited to be sharing with you. I was thinking about, you know, in this You Matter series, maybe today's sermon should be called Your Mama Matters. I'm not sure, but I'm probably not going to go that direction. Nevertheless, I am thankful for the moms in my life. I say moms because my mom obviously raised me when I was really little as a single mom. My stepmom, or I should call her my step-up mom, because she stepped up in a place in my life during the middle school and high school years. God bless her, right? And she really was influential in my life. And then the first person that greeted me after Callie and I were announced man and wife, and we walked out into the foyer of the church that we were in, was my mother-in-law. And she said, she was the first person, and she just goes, "Welcome to our family." And I just remember, like, and have experienced since I've known Callie, just how she has been a model of faithfulness to Callie growing up, but also to me and to my kids. And obviously, I'm super thankful for my wife, who, as I'm, like, sitting at the kitchen table and seeing my kids growing up and just seeing how much of an influence she plays in their life, spiritually, in their character, and everything. And everything that they do. And that's enough about me, enough about my family, but I'm just so thankful, and I'm thankful for the influence of people in my life. And that's really what I'm going to be looking at today in our scripture. We're going to be in 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. We're going to be in chapter 2. And I don't want you to read ahead too much because you're going to go, how is this going to be a Mother's Day message, especially in the opening verses? But I want us to see how John is sharing with us that every opportunity that we have is an opportunity for us to influence those around us. Whether you've had a good experience with a mom in your life or a not-so-great experience, they are influential. They're influential. And God has put people in our life, sometimes moms, sometimes mentors, sometimes dads, sometimes teachers, sometimes people who work with us that influence our lives. And you may not see yourself as someone who can influence others with the gospel, but that's absolutely the case. And John is both giving us some warnings and some admonition to be this type of an influencer, to see every opportunity as an opportunity to influence those around us. And he starts out with one of the most mom-like warnings that I've seen in Scripture. Ready? Remember, John is writing to several churches, and he starts off with a warning. He says, "Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour." Now, the thing that I want you to see in this is the very last sentence of this part. He's giving a warning and saying there are people who are going to be giving influence to your life that you should be aware of that are not good. Like, they are not going to lead you in the direction that you need to go. But notice he's paying attention to the timing that they're in. He says, we are in the last hour. Like, in other words, he's saying, stop dilly-dallying and pay attention, right? Does that sound like a mom thing to do? Like, hey, pay attention. Listen up. Be aware. There are influences in your life that you should take note of. Who are they? How are you influencing? He goes on about these influences. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. He's saying, like, it's evident that they are not the people you want to be around by how they are influencing, what they are saying, and how they are living out their life. And John's going to start walking us through factors that we should consider when it comes to our influence and the people who are influencing us. The first one is in verse 18 that I already mentioned, and that is timing. That there's no time like the present to be aware of how we can both be influenced and influence those around us. He's saying, look at how he words this in 1 John chapter 2, 18. He says, therefore we know that it is the last hour. Have you considered that you are in a certain time and place right now to influence others for the gospel, for the kingdom of God? Like, we're not at a place where we can kick the can down the road any longer. Now is the time. That's why the series You Matter is so important, because you play a role right now in advancing the kingdom of God. Now. The second thing, we alluded to it already, in verse 20, he goes, but you have been anointed by the Holy One. We're going to see two things that John is pointing to in this one verse. You have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. Okay? The second factor that I think John is calling out is that you are empowered. Another way that he words that is you are anointed. You might go, I'm anointed? No one put oil on my head, or no one did anything like supernatural to anoint me. But the moment, it says in Scripture, that you have received Jesus, you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which means that you are empowered to influence and to live as Jesus influenced. Jesus Christ, the word Christ literally means anointed one. And what I love in Scripture is that we see ways that Jesus lived out his anointing. He had a promise that he was going to share with the world, that he was going to deliver to the world, that we're going to talk about in a second. But the way that he did it has everything to do with his influence on those around him. If you look at Luke chapter 4, you don't have to jump there, I'll read it to you. But Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19 is actually Jesus reciting a prophecy from Isaiah in 61, verse 1 and 2. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. So Jesus is saying, I have been anointed. And this is the way that that looks in his life. To proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus influenced the poor, the prisoner, the blind, the oppressed. And you might go, well, that's great, but I don't know anyone who's, you know, blind. I don't necessarily know if what everyone's financial situation is. I don't know people who have been incarcerated. I don't know someone who's oppressed in some way. But Jesus also lived out his ministry in such a way where he would call out things in others that he interacted with. And like, think about the Sermon on the Mount when he says, blessed are the poor. Is he talking about financial status? No. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. When I think about the people that we encounter, and honestly my own life, I probably could fit into one of these four categories when we think about it. Not just some of us, maybe in a like a physical, like we actually have some physical issues, or we have a history where we have been in prison and we have an opportunity to influence those people. But regardless, we could see ourselves being in a situation where maybe there are blind spots in my life. Maybe there's a stronghold in my life that has held me back from being the person that I know God's calling me to be. In those ways, I am oppressed. I am a prisoner, sometimes of my own sin. And that has the potential to hold me back and hold my influence back. But what John's saying is we are anointed, which means that those things no longer hold us captive. Those things no longer should hold us back from living out the influence that God has called us to live. Those aren't the things that define us anymore. That's the good news of Jesus. And when Jesus came to influence the poor, the prisoner, the blind, the oppressed, he did so by preaching, proclaiming freedom, performing miracles, offering comfort to the burdened and the oppressed. And the answer to the question of can you influence is answered by Jesus himself when he's leaving the disciples and he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses. And he finishes that verse by saying, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is saying, listen, your influence extends beyond just you. So who are you allowing to influence your own life? And how is that influence then going out to those around you? Who are the people that you're witnessing to? Who are the people that you have direct influence towards? Is it your family? Is it your church family? Is it your community? Is it the places where you work, where you live, where you do life? Because God is calling you to be an influence there, to be a witness in those places for the gospel. John is one of the people that Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses. John is one of the people who heard that message from Jesus. And do you know what? He was influenced by that because now he's going and declaring that to those around him. That's why verse 20 is so important for us to listen to and pay attention to, because John is listening to the words of Jesus and then he is reflecting those words of Jesus to those who he has influence over. Do you see that? John is saying some of the same words in his own paraphrase of what Jesus himself was teaching him. You have been anointed by the Holy One and you all have knowledge. Does he say in this verse, you have all the knowledge, so therefore you are able to go and tell people? No, he's saying you've been anointed by the Holy One and you all have knowledge. You don't have all the knowledge, you have knowledge. You know what is true. You've been anointed to live in that truth, and so go and do that. Do you have to have it all figured out? That's not what he's saying. He's saying, you have been anointed, and you have knowledge. And then he says, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. You see, the third factor, one of the most important factors that we are called to live out as we go to influence others with the gospel, is that we understand the timing, that the timing is now. That we're not, God's not saying, okay, delay, like come, go to seminary classes for a little while, figure out a little more, get more knowledge. He's saying, you know it. Now is the time. You've been anointed. You have my Spirit living within you. If you have trusted in Jesus, you have that Spirit. And you have the knowledge. So now go and live. And the word that kind of just came to my mind when I was thinking about this morning was that we're called to live out with our faith with poise. Because poise is knowing the truth, but then knowing how to walk in the truth, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the things that might come at you that would try and take you off course. And in John's case, he's saying, beware of the Antichrist. You know that they are coming. Many have already come. Be aware that there are people who are trying to knock you down. But know that the time is now. You're anointed with the Spirit, and you are called to live in truth. The truth of the gospel, which means sometimes it's going to be difficult. Sometimes people are going to try and knock you off course. But you're called to live with poise. Live with a faith that transcends that. This passage of scripture I came across this week too from Isaiah, and I love the imagery of this. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. It says, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whether when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. And I had like this image when I read this scripture of when I was teaching my kids how to ride their bikes. And when I was teaching them how to ride their bikes, I was thinking about Hazel. And I didn't stand in front of her and hold on to her handlebars and like pull her along. One, because she would have run me over, for sure. The other reason is because it just wasn't effective, right? I wanted her to see and her to feel like she was driving this thing. But I also wanted her to hear and be at a place where I was close enough to give her helpful instructions. For her to know, hey, now's the time. Like, you're pedaling. You need to go or else you're going to fall. So I'd stand behind her. I'd hold the back of her seat and I'd go. I'd offer balance when needed. But I'd give her coaching instruction. I'd go, pedal. Lean to the left. Lean to the right. Steer. Pedal. By the way, pedal. And she'd keep going and going, and before you knew it, I'm not running behind her, I'm running alongside her. And this scripture is that kind of image where God is saying to us, he's whispering behind us, go, pedal, now is the time. You are anointed. You've got my spirit. I'm right here with you. Now keep going. I think that's the imagery that John is trying to say to us, is that, hey, there are obstacles. There's a tree in front of you. Steer to the left. There's this stronghold in your life. Keep on going. Keep pedaling. Overcome it. That's what he's calling us to. Your influence matters. And again, John's not saying you've got to do this out of your own strength. He's saying pay attention to where your influence is coming from. In verse 23, he says, "No one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever confesses the Son has the Father also." Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also, but no one who denies the Son has the Father. What is he saying here? He's saying that our influence is either going to lead people towards one of two realities, towards Christ or away from him. Those are the two realities. There's no middle ground. What he's saying is no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father. The way that you influence is either going to draw people towards Jesus and therefore to the Father, or they're going to draw you away from Jesus and therefore away from the Father. The influences that you allow in your life are the same way. And that's why influence matters. Look at verse 24. It says, "Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you." We heard that earlier this morning. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. What are you allowing to abide in you? What are you putting yourself so close to that it starts to show in the rest of your life? It starts to spill out in the rest of your life. Verse 25 talks about what it is that when we live with the type of influence where we're abiding with the Father, the message that's shared. And that message is verse 25. It says, "And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life." When Jesus would go to the world, when he would reach the poor and the blind and the prisoner and the oppressed, he went with one message. He went with the promise of eternal life. But he did so in such a way where he was willing to go to places where he was going to get his hands dirty sometimes. He was going to places in such a way where people gathered to him because they wanted to hear what this message was all about. His influence was attractive. It drew others to him. He wasn't just saying, "I have a promise, it's eternal life." And they'd go, "Okay, great. See you later, crazy." He went to them and offered them something that was going to make a difference in their life. And it gained their attention. And he always used that as a segue to go, "You think this is important? No. What's really important is the promise that my Father is going to give you, and that's eternal life through me." You see how he always used his influence to point towards this promise. And it makes me ask the question, are we using our influence that intentionally? The place and the time that we're in? He says, "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you," that there are some people who would not be that intentional with their life. They wouldn't lead you towards that promise. But the anointing that you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. What is he saying? Allow the influence in your life to be him. Rest in his word. Surround yourself with people who are going to draw you to things that are good and right and true. Because those are the things that are going to carry. And those are the things that are going to help you influence others with the gospel of Jesus. Your influence matters because what you heard, it says, and John is saying, abides in you, and what you have heard is true. And what abides in you, he's saying, matters, or at least it should. if we are planting ourselves around things that don't matter, we're still going to influence just with things that don't matter. There are a lot of things that I plant myself alongside that at the end of the day I go, wow, that really didn't matter. And I realize another day has gone by where I haven't been intentional with the influence that and the opportunity to influence that God has given me. And I think about this, I mentioned earlier, when I'm sitting around the dinner table and I see my kids growing up tomorrow, my youngest, my baby girl, is turning 6 years old. And she tells me all the time, soon I'm going to be big and I won't be your baby anymore. And I said, that is not true ever. So stop growing. But I realize every time I look at her and I look at my kids, they are growing fast. And they're little. Like they're still little. But time is flying by, and I remember when we were in like those infant years, and I'm going, oh, help us survive. Get us out of this moment. I don't want to change any more poopy diapers. All of those times, they're just a phase. They're going to go by. I need to be aware of the time that God has given me right now to invest with all of who I am for the sake of the gospel. Like right now. I can't delay anymore because before I know it, time is going to be gone. And I won't have any more of those chances. Do you live with that kind of intentionality? I mean, we do this with our work too. I just need to get through these few years and then I'll be able to jump up the ladder. I'll be able to retire. I'll be able to take the next step in my career, instead of paying attention to where God has placed you right now. Remember, timing, anointing. You're empowered right now to be the person that God has called you to be where you are. And God has specifically placed people in your life to influence you, and He has specifically placed you as a person to influence others. To stretch you to be the person that He has desired you to be. And that goes both ways. I was talking to Jim Buffy, and he was sharing with some of the other guys at the Authentic Manhood class this past Thursday. He said, the guys that he has the opportunity to mentor, he gains just as much from. Because God, he's recognizing that God has put him in a place to be both stretched and to grow and to stretch others and to grow others. And sometimes we try and emulate, and moms, I'm going to kind of pick on you for a minute. How much time do we spend looking at social media, how other moms are doing it, and thinking, I should be doing that with my kids. Instead of recognizing that God has put you in a place right now to be the mom that He's called you to be for your kids. And dads, it goes the same way. You are empowered to be the mom and the dad and the coworker and the student that He has called you to be in that place. Will you live like it's the time to do so? And will you live like you are actually empowered be that person? And I came across a stat. I was reminded of a stat this week about kids and young people that says 75% of young people who leave the church, go off to college, just maybe start their jobs, their careers, 75% don't come back to church. And I'm not talking about their home church. I'm talking about church. But what I don't think that means is that young people aren't looking for something. In fact, I think kids and young people are looking for a reason to stick around. But they haven't seen a reason worth sticking around. And I think that is a direct correlation to us missing the opportunities that God has given us to share our influence. Do we look at every opportunity as an opportunity to influence others, to influence young people, where when they interact with us, they feel like, man, I want to come back for more. I want to hang out with him. I want to hang out with her. Every opportunity is an opportunity to influence those around us. I was thinking about my time. We spent some time in Romania, and we spent a lot of time with people called gypsies, the Romani people. And they're called gypsies for a reason. They're nomadic. They have different places that they want to that they live. They live a gypsy lifestyle. And there's this slang word. It's not really a Greek word that's derived from the word gypsy called gypped. Gypped. Do you know what that means? It means that, like, when you come into contact with a gypsy, more often than not, when you were engaging with them, you left with something less than what you started with. Like, you were in a relationship with them, you maybe bumped up alongside them on a bus, and then you left without your wallet. And I wonder how many times people come to the church looking for something, and we have the opportunity to influence and to point them towards the promise that verse 25 talked about. And instead of leaving fulfilled, they leave drained or empty. Church, we need to pay attention to how we are influencing for the gospel. Think about Jesus' influence. And now, little children, abide in him. You get this like parenting type imagery all over again. And he says, and now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. When people interacted with Jesus, they left walking away confident. They left walking away from all the shame and guilt and burdens that they met him with. They left them there. And they walked with a renewed sense of life and purpose and meaning. And he says, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. This is what the influence of Jesus does. It helps us to walk in confidence, it removes the shame of sin, and it prompts a shift to live like Jesus. Do you know what that shift is called in church words? Two words. Repentance and righteousness. It says in verse 29... if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Meaning that when you encounter righteousness and you are influenced by that type of a person, you are influenced to change and to want to be like that person. The only way you get that is if you abide with the Son. That's it. You abide with the Son, you abide with the Father. You abide in the Son, you are freed. You experience freedom. That's what it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 19, you experience the year of the Lord's freedom. I have this quote here. It says, the energy is about to shift. That is not from a theologian at all. I love sports, and I follow all kinds of different sports. And I love the Boston Celtics. I follow them. And in the last 3 years, they have been like, okay, like the win one, lose one, and that's been their story. This year they have a new coach, and for the first half of the year, they were winning one, losing one, they're not doing anything. Everyone's going, yep, they'll lose first round, they've got nothing. The coach has been beating into their minds this idea that now is the time. You all have been brought onto this team for a particular reason. You've got to buy in and have the poise to walk in that role. Does that sound familiar? With about 30 games left to play in the season, one of their star players said this. He posted on social media, people who post on social media, what are they called? Influencers. And he says this to his team. He says, the energy is about to shift. Meaning, if we don't start doing something now, we're going to be out. The team is going to be blown up. It will not go anywhere. And the team responded. over the next 30 games, they won 24 of their last 30 games. They went into the playoffs against a team that everyone said they were going to lose to, maybe even get swept. And what did they do? They won all four games and swept them, and they've advanced to the next round. What would it look like if the church lived like that? If we bought into the idea that now is the time, you each matter enough to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live out the way, the calling that has been placed on your life, and so that we can walk in our circumstances no matter what the cost. Wouldn't that be tremendous? Jeremiah prophesies this way. He says, "And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord.' Why? For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Jeremiah is saying, if you just live where you are with the type of influence that God has called us to live, you won't even need to tell your neighbor anymore. Because they'll know. They'll know me. Your influence matters. And the challenge is that, will you abide? Will you be influenced by Jesus? And will that influence change you and change the course that your life is going on? The next steps for us this morning are just this, that you would trust Jesus has removed the shame of sin in your life, and that you matter enough to influence someone else with the good news of Jesus. If you have been changed by Jesus, you know that your life is no longer defined by the shame of sin, and you can walk with confidence, and you matter enough to share that with somebody else. And they matter enough for you to share it with them. The second next step is this, that this week you will explore opportunities where you can best influence those around you with the good news about Jesus. And like I said, that starts in your home, with your kids, with your spouse, with your neighbors, with your family. Maybe you have an opportunity, maybe you can explore an opportunity to serve here in the church with Hope Kids or United, our student ministries, or as a welcome, as a greeter, as an usher here. Maybe it's joining that invitation that Andrew extended us to us earlier and joining us next Saturday to serve South County. You have the opportunity to influence community, a whole community, with the good news of Jesus. And it's there for you just to walk into. All you have to do is go online or write your name on a connection card. That simple. Now is the time. You're empowered. Walk in the way that He has called us to walk. Let's pray. Jesus, thank You for the message that You have given us, that we matter enough to be a part of the work that You're doing to extend Your kingdom. We pray this all in Jesus' name.